The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, it's The Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Ryan Hwang with you. Time now for The Bigger Picture. Before we get into that conversation with Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, let's talk about the Boxing Day rally. New records being set on Wall Street. I've never seen the Nasdaq Composite hit above 9,000. S&P 500 also climbing, close to a percentage point to its 1997 record. Wow.
Oh, so you're looking at S&P 500 up by 0.5%, Dow Jones Industrial Average up by 0.4%, and S&P 500 and Nasdaq Composite up by 0.8%. So rather looking good for U.S. markets.
And we are seeing the power of the U.S. consumer because Amazon led the gains last night. They jumped more than 4%. The e-commerce giant, of course, said holiday shopping season broke all records on the back of how last week they said they're not going to use Amazon's ground service deliveries.
And it's not just the stock markets doing well. You're also looking at oil prices doing well. WTI now at a three-month high at $61.69. That's up about 1% from last night, and this on optimism around the U.S.-China trade front, and also some reports showing lower U.S. crude inventories. If you look at gold prices, they are also capping off a rather strong week, now just above 1,500, and that's on some reports about how central banks are doing a bit of a gold buying spree to kind of hedge their exposure away from the U.S. dollar. So that's something to look out for on gold. And to get a bigger picture, we've got Vishnu Varathan. He is the Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Morning, Vishnu. How's your holiday week been going so far?
Well, I have to say, it's good, but the markets have been having a better week than me, so that's where it is.
Okay, I hope your week gets better from now on. Vishnu, talking about the stock market right now, it's been quite a good year, and you look at the stock markets, at least in the US, it's record week after record week. But this is also a year when we talk about a recession, a slowdown, there's Brexit. How do we make sense of this rally right now, this year, when you have all this in the backdrop?
I mean, that's really a very good question. It does seem to be at odds where you had a rolling conflict between US and China, even though towards the end of the year came closer towards some kind of interim truce. We've got stocks that are rallying. We can put it down to a few factors. One is, I think stock markets have stopped fretting about the bigger picture, and they've just focused on the Fed starting to ease. So the Fed cutting 75 basis points helped. Also, because of the liquidity crunch, the Fed has resumed expanding its balance sheet. So even though the Fed went out of its way to say that this is not quantitative easing, QE, the fact is that the balance sheet has expanded quite a bit, and that liquidity is also fueling some of these gains. So the stock markets have been on their own dynamic, if you must, despite what's going on. So it's not because of the fundamental factors, but it's in spite of.
Hey, Vishnu, so looking at this week, right, it's quite a relatively calm picture. You don't hear a lot from Donald Trump on his Twitter page. But you have this, I guess, name for it. You're calling it the duck syndrome. Walk us through what you mean by that.
I mean, there are two aspects to it. I mean, on one front, we think duck refers to averting, ducking the worst outcomes has led to markets, I think, heaving a huge sigh of relief that almost looks like rejoice. So the fact that US-China trade war didn't end up in an outright collision, Brexit also averted, despite now resuming some of that hard Brexit risks, they have averted imminent fallout. And so a host of factors have actually helped to get markets to duck the worst of risks. And the other aspect of the duck is, of course, there's a lot going on in terms of the kind of hectic, frantic peddling underwater. But above the surface, things look calm. So one of the things that you just pointed out was stock markets having done so well despite heightened uncertainty. And volatility has also been low despite the heightened uncertainty. So this factor, we put it down to markets focusing very much on the policy response rather than the underlying risk.
Yeah, Vishnu, you've been talking about how the US-China trade war is one big factor, and the phase one deal, that is expected to be signed sometime in January. So I want to get a take on this. Are you expecting things to go smoothly this time and for the deal to be reached? Looks like so far ducks are in a row.
You're right, the ducks are lined up. And I think that deal will be signed because in a very large way, I think they've agreed on the major aspects of this deal. But we bear in mind that a very limited deal. Okay, apart from the fact I'm intrinsically quite miserable about things, the main thing about this is that, you know, effectively the tariff rollback only amounts to 10% of the tariffs being rolled back compared to what was laid on. So quantitatively, not fantastic. Qualitatively, also not, because the stickier issues, which are harder to resolve, remain out there. So we don't know what will happen during the elections run-up. And more worrying, the backdrop of tech war that continues. That hasn't abated very much. The US continues to try to cajole its allies not to use Huawei, so on and so forth. So certainly that's not fading away. So we don't want to pop the champagne too soon.
So what you're saying is, you know, the optimism that we are seeing right now might not be sustainable. So even if it's signed for phase one, the upside might not be, you know, sustainable and just might be temporary relief for now.
I think a lot of it will be temporary relief. And really the question, because the follow-up question is going to be on two fronts. One is the enforceability of the phase one and how happy each party is with the outcomes. And that's on a very limited scope. The bigger question is where to from there? Because we already have got about 90% of the tariffs that haven't rolled back. Are we going to do anything about that? So markets will quickly start focusing on that, I think, once we get past the US elections. Speaking of which, that itself is a risk, because then you want to watch what the president says. The newly elected president says, though it may not be a new president, what he says after that, whether it revives these America First antagonistic policies, and that could be another source of worry.
All right, we're speaking of Vishnu Varathan. He's the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, looking at some of the other indicators we've been getting, we've been talking about green shoots, you know, how the electronics sector has been bottoming out. But if you look at some of the recent data from Singapore, the industrial production numbers that came out yesterday, not too peachy. It was down 9.3% versus the forecast of just slightly below 1%. So that was largely dragged down by electronics. And this morning, Japanese data around industrial production numbers also showing a similar sign, down 8.1% versus the forecast of 0.9%. So if you look at these data numbers, Vishnu, what is it telling you about the state of the electronics sector and where things are going from here?
I think it's still quite hopeful, at least based on some of the supply side of things, where inventory drawdown has taken place. We see some of the demand coming back on. But you're absolutely right, because it looks like we're approaching a corner, so we're bottoming. But the pickup doesn't look very convincing insofar that, you know, one of the things we were talking about earlier, if the US-China tech tensions resume, that could be really throwing the spanner into the works. The other aspect of it is, of course, as long as confidence is not resumed, then any pickup is going to be very, very tentative rather than one of conviction. So the shape of any recovery that we could see in semiconductors, which may lead an electronics recovery, is going to be a U-shape at the best, not a V.
And Vishnu, looking at those numbers around the Singapore industrial production numbers, right? That is worse than expected. So if you look at how things have been for the first 11 months, industrial production numbers have now contracted 1.6% for the first 11 months. So that is putting a bit of downside risk to this year's full-year GDP outlook. What's your take on where the number will come in for 2019, and will it get better in, or how much better in 2020?
I mean, those are very good questions. One thing I wanted to point out about the data is the data will tend to be distorted for the reason that in September, when US-China started resuming talks, I think there was some front-loading in between here and there. So the numbers turned very choppy. We think the big picture for growth for 2019 is still going to be a sub 1%. It's going to move fractionally, and we're not too fussed about that. What's much more important is whether the momentum in recovery can sustain into 2020 or not. And that will really depend on what happens after phase one is signed. We think there will be a recovery, but whether it's able to gain momentum to get that escape velocity to go above 2%, that remains highly suspect and highly unlikely if there's going to be a lot of uncertainty around how President Trump reacts into his election cycle, particularly if the U.S. slows down a lot. And that is seen as that forms a knee-jerk of anti-China rhetoric from his end on his campaign trail.
All right, President Trump will be someone to watch in 2020 for sure. We've been chatting with Vishnu Varathan. He's the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, always great chatting with you. Enjoy your Friday.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.